just wants to be your friend, and he wants to abide with you, and he wants to show you his ways. And so, if you and I are willing to bend ourselves a little bit more, by the way, don't break your back. Don't bend to the point of breaking your back, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. First of all, don't stand up like this. Second of all, don't bend so low that your back hurts. You have to find that in-between position with the Lord. You might be thinking, what pizza did Sunil eat tonight? Where did he get this stuff? The Holy Spirit. I got it from Jesus. I got it from my last, basically, 6 weeks of walking with the Lord. And I'm still getting it. I want more of a download, Jesus. I need more. But it is a blessing what I've already received. I must say, it's been amazing. And so I'm going to share a bit, but I want to say this, that our humility doesn't add to the work of Calvary. It just goes alongside what Jesus already did. If we look at Revelation chapter 1, this is a tremendous scripture. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, he did that at Calvary for us, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. My point here is that as we learn to walk in that thing that Jesus did for us, we realize that it's all been done. He already accomplished the mission. Like I prayed in the prayer at the beginning, the mission was accomplished. It is finished at Calvary. Amen? Amen. So what do you and I have to do tonight? We have to come alongside with him, or rather, let him come alongside of you and learn to walk humbly with him. Learn to let him be the one that leads your steps. And as you do, you will have to bend. You will have to go a little lower sometimes. You will have to learn to keep your mouth shut sometimes. You will have to learn to wait on the Lord in the morning when you get up. You will have to learn to get to the Bible and ask God, Lord, what are you saying today? You will have to be willing to hear that word from another Christian into your life that you didn't want to hear. But don't worry. I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be encouraged tonight, whatever your situation. Because I want to tell you this. He's not here to break your back. He's here to bring you to a beautiful place with himself. He's here, and he's here right now, folks, in a marvelous way. And I don't understand it all, but I'm asking the Lord about it. How do we get to the next stage, Jesus? How do we get to the next? But this I know. If we really want the Holy Ghost to abide, like I said, then we have to be willing to be humble and to sort of like say, Lord, you take the lead. It's like a dance, and you say, Lord, you're leading. I'm following with you. You lead, Lord. I follow. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Does that make sense? Good, because I just made that up. We sung that song Thursday, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. And that's what humility is, the thing that's going to allow heaven's table land to be in our midst. I'm going to skip over this thing here. I don't really care about that right now. I want to say this, though. You know, we were doing a Bible study in 2 Corinthians on Wednesdays, and we were mentioning that we went back to 1 Corinthians, and Paul said, you got to get sin out of the camp. There's a guy that was in great sin there in the church. And it can set a bad precedent so that everybody else can start, hey, this is okay, we can do this too. And so it's like take the old leaving out so that it doesn't infect the rest of the dough. But you know, on the other side of the coin, here is humility. If you put humility into the bread, when it rises, it's never going to collapse. The church has got something solid if it's built in humility. And 1 Corinthians 13:4, if you want to put that up, let's look what that says. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I'm jumping around, Angie. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 13:4. If you have it there. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Other versions say it's not proud and it does not boast. If we're going to have true love, and Paul was, remember what Paul's context at the beginning was. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in the Spirit, be of one accord, of one mind together. And that's what we need. Humility is one of the, it's the glue. It's one of the glues that helps us to really make sure that we are here. And you know what the whole point of all this is God is looking for a place to walk in. He's looking for vessels, meaning you and me, that would like literally carry Jesus. I don't know if you believe that that's possible. But there's a scripture that says, I'm crucified with Christ and I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. What I want to do tonight is probe a little further into some of the things that it takes to live that verse, you could say. And so humility is the good yeast in the bread, so that when it rises, it's going to stay and not collapse afterwards and have holes in it. Anybody ever got bread from the bakery and you cut it, there's a big hole in it? Did you ever feel ripped off? That's what pride will do. It'll put a hole in your life. It'll put a hole in the church. It'll make people say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm more spiritual than you. That's in 1 Corinthians. And then it'll make people think, oh, we can have this sin because we got Jesus. And then it'll make other people at the Lord's Supper think, oh, yeah, they don't have anything to eat at home. I'm gonna stuff myself and have a good feast here. That's what they were doing in the Corinthian church, and some of them are getting sick and even dying. And Paul's, you know, so what was lacking was humility. What was lacking was real love. And we just read there, love does not boast and is not proud. We need, because one of the centerpieces of love is humility. But now I want to consider that, not just the heavenly thing coming down to earth. I want to talk about two points about us in our earthly, I guess you could say, perspective of humility. And the first one is this. It's the proper response of the human creature to God. We sung it tonight, that He is Lord, that He is God. And it's the proper response. And now we're talking about as creatures, not as the King of Kings coming down and living. We're talking as us made from the dust of the earth. Our proper response ought to be, God, to You be all the glory. God, we worship You. As Emily and our young people want to extol worship. What is central to worship is that He is the Lord and He deserves all the glory and the praise. Does He not? He made all things. So to stay low at His feet is going to require that we know we're not God. Now that might sound ridiculous to some, but you know, a lot of times people have a God complex and they don't even know they have it. You know, you can have a God complex and you can think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But you can still be quite off. Matter of fact, we're all quite off until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of us and starts putting us on. Onto the right place, into the right position, into that place with Himself. With whose self? With Christ's self. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. For your life is hid with Christ in God. It says in Colossians chapter 3:3. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is not what we just see on the outside. You know that saying, do not judge a book by its cover. We have something on the inside, which is eternal, which is going to last forever. And believe it or not, Paul said, I pray that you might be strengthened on the inner man with all might by his spirit with power. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In other words, we can be so alive on the inside. It starts to affect the outside. It starts to take precedence. And it also makes us unable to endure the hardships, to endure the trials that we don't want to go through. Listen, I didn't sign up for this. You say, what? You ever had any trials? Did you sign up for them? I didn't. Maybe you guys did. It's your fault. No, I'm teasing you. I know you didn't sign up for them either. But Jesus already said to us, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So I want to tell this. I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning, because I know some may be discouraged. And I want you to know something as I get to my last point tonight. There is a lowly place where you must stay low, but keep your eyes always on Jesus. Don't just go down low. Keep your eyes on him. Because lowliness without our faith will crush us. Can I say that again? Only being low without faith will crush us. Never let go of your faith. I'll tell you what I did this morning. Because something was out of whack. Or was it? God was doing something and I haven't figured it out. But I go right to the Word. And I quote Scripture, a lot of it by memory, but whatever. And I go right to the Word, and the Word encourages my faith. And the Word tells me who I am in Christ. And the Word says to me, this is your true identity. But I want to say this first before we get to that. That the other thing, the other element from the human perspective is a proper response to God is this, that when we measure ourselves up by the commandments, have you noticed that you feel a little bit inadequate? Has anybody read the Bible? Have anybody heard a sermon about the Ten Commandments? Have you read the Sermon on the Mount? Ouch. What are you after, God? Are you serious? You want us to follow that? Well, here's the thing. There was a story of a tax collector and a Pharisee in the temple. And it's funny, it's in the temple. Because that's like us today in the church, you know? There can be two kinds of people in the church, it seems. There can be those that go, thank you, God, I'm not like Brother Terry. I'm teasing. But you know what? I want to be like Terry. Thank God that we can have examples. Thank God that we can have people that we want to be like. But the tax collector said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There it is. And he beat his breast and he didn't even look up. And the Pharisee was like, look at me. I'm good, God. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. And when Elvis left the building, Jesus said, Elvis didn't go home justified, but this guy did.